Okay, back on the record. It's about a little after 10:20. Just calling it back to order. The company has rested its case in chief, and they did reserve the right for rebuttal. But now it's time for what I would call the public input part of the process. I will swear in witnesses as you come up here. Even if you sign the book that you didn't want to testify, that doesn't foreclose your right to testify before I close the hearing today if you change your mind. I think what I'll do, though, is I'll start. I understand there's some people who support the project, and there's some people who oppose the project. So we'll start with the support, and then we'll go to the opposition. So if you support the project, why don't you come forward, and I'll swear you in. Anyone? Okay. Please tell me your name, sir.
My name is Kent Satrang.
And where do you live?
I live in Fargo, 1331 11th Avenue South, Unit 104.
And you were here when I gave the perjury admonition?
Yes, I was.
Today? Okay. I ask you to raise your right hand. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay. Are you here representing yourself or any group or business entity?
I'm the CEO of Farm Machine Oil Company of Moorhead, which does business as PetroServe USA.
Okay.
A cooperative and convenience store business.
Okay. Go ahead and tell us what you'd like to have us hear.
Well, we are a stockholder of Senex, so we do have stock in their company. We have about six Senex convenience stores. We have probably 11 Tesoro convenience stores, and we have seven PetroServe USA convenience stores. And we probably pull about 1 million barrels a year out of the West Fargo and Moorhead terminals. And so I have no opinion as to where the tank farm should be, but I do believe that as a business operator that this tank farm could really do a lot of benefit to the petroleum industry, to the farming industry, and to the public safety of the roadways, I guess. What generally happens during the season, when, let's say we get into sugar beets and we can't sugar beet harvest and we can't supply enough fuel, having 18 million more gallons out in the Prosper Terminal would make a big difference and really help. And from a public safety standpoint, what ends up happening is when we run out of fuel, then our industry calls the governor's office and asks to have a waiver of hours for drivers. And I'm always concerned when we do that because, you know, there's a lot of mud on the road with sugar beets and there gets to be icy conditions. And then you've got our drivers. We own 8 transports and you've got those drivers driving down the road longer hours. So I'm always concerned about accidents. So something like this, I think, would help alleviate outages and shortages in the peak times of the season. And then also, I think it would actually keep the prices lower for both gasoline and diesel during those peak times.
So we wouldn't be running out. So you've seen these shortages that the company talked about, these seasonal shortages and the need to
Yeah, I've probably seen probably 5 of them in the last 10 years. Usually you end up going on radio because people think these are caused, you know, they're just caused by supply and demand. So if we can add more supply in the strategic locations, like right in the farming community instead of Laurel, that would make a big difference for these.
Okay. Any other points you want to make?
That's it.
Any questions for Mr. Satrang, Mr. Mann?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Pelham?
No questions.
Ms. Prescott?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Any other support for the project? Anybody else?
Yes, sir.
Come forward. Raise your right hand. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay. State your name, please.
My name is Dale Smith. I'm manager of engineering projects with NuStar.
And what's your address, sir?
7340 West 21st Street North, Suite 200, Wichita, Kansas.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. I will be the project manager for NuStar's portion of the Laurel Interconnect Pipeline that's represented on your exhibits with the blue line between the existing Senex pipeline from Laurel to the Fargo area and it'll interconnect with the existing NuStar pipeline running from Mandan to the Fargo-Moorhead area. And NuStar has a long history of owning and operating petroleum products pipelines and terminals, as does Cenex or CHS. And NuStar and its predecessor companies have owned and operated petroleum terminals and pipelines in the state of North Dakota for in excess of 60 years. During this time, NuStar in its Central East region has been serving agricultural communities and coexisting in and amongst the rural communities with pipelines and storage facilities. The Laurel Interconnect Pipeline, together with Cenex's Prosper Terminal, will connect, as I said, the Cenex existing Laurel Pipeline and the NuStar existing North System Pipeline. Connecting the two systems will enhance the refined product supply capabilities and will better enable the systems to efficiently meet our customers' needs, as Mr. G testified. And in addition to that, the injection of the additional petroleum products into our system here in the with this interconnect with the CHS line down into our system will actually even benefit additional areas of the state of North Dakota with petroleum distribution. It'll allow us to bring the new injected barrels into this area to supply our customers here and downstream. But in addition to that, the barrels that would normally come out of the Tesoro refinery from our existing supply system can be dropped off into the Jamestown, North Dakota area and supply even better distribution in those areas as well. So NuStar has worked very closely with CHS in the selection of the proposed terminal site. And the terminal site and the pipeline are directly connected, and the site for selection site for both the pipeline and the terminal had to be considered cooperatively. Considerations for the terminal location in our assistance and working with Cenex is locating the terminal as close as possible to the existing Cenex pipeline system, locating the terminal close to the existing Cenex pipeline. Otherwise, had the terminal been moved farther south, two pipelines would have been needed, one to extend north for Cenex to get back into their system, as well as another pipeline going south to interconnect with our pipeline. Additional considerations were avoiding impacts to environmentally sensitive areas and meeting the Commission's exclusion area, avoidance area, and selection and policy criteria. Avoiding areas that were designated as flood-prone, and locating the terminal near access to power, water, and accessible roadways. And then finding a parcel that had landowner willingness to sell the land. The current site that has been selected does meet these criteria. Existing infrastructure on or adjacent to the site, most specifically, on the exhibits, you'll see the Burlington Northern Railroad dissects the property on a diagonal, on a horizontal east to west crossing are the overhead high voltage transmission lines, make the site a little less and the conducive to the agricultural use due to the nature of the shape of the property. However, it would be conducive for the terminal site. In addition, NuStar was able to acquire 100% of right-of-way needed for its pipeline between the NuStar existing pipeline and the proposed terminal siting. Other terminal locations and sites for the pipeline route were analyzed but were rejected for various reasons. We initially analyzed interconnections near West Fargo, within or adjacent to existing terminal sites. However, routing a pipeline in and around West Fargo and Moorhead was not feasible because the area is densely populated and very congested with existing commercial development and other infrastructure. In addition, one other route was identified and analyzed, and that was to follow the BNSF right away through town, and that was presented to the BNSF and was rejected, as their right of way is very congested, tight right of ways in places, and also would traverse the pipeline through several rail yards in the area. We then directed our attention to areas where the existing CHS or Cenex pipeline and the New Star pipelines were at their closest proximity to each other, and which was west of West Fargo and also west of the proposed Red River diversion area. So it brings us to the general area of the project is currently located. Initially, a site was proposed south of the Prosper grain elevators, had been identified. However, when this proposal to use this site was presented to the Raymond Township, it met with resistance from some of the Prosper residents due to the proximity to the town. Other sites were considered, however, were disqualified, but it would have either increased the length of the interconnection pipeline and proposed various challenges with respect to roadway and utility access. Selection of the proposed Prosper site as presented is a result of an extensive analysis by Cenex New Star and involved coordination with landowners, local officials, agencies, existing infrastructure owners. The proposed location enables the interconnection of the existing New Star and Cenex systems with the associated benefits to the North Dakota customers while minimizing human environmental impacts. For these reasons, New Star respectfully asks the Commission to approve Cenex application for a certificate of corridor and compatibility route permit. That's all.
Okay. Questions for Mr. Smith? Mr. Mann?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Pelham?
Good morning, Mr. Smith. Just a couple of questions for you. The relationship between Cenex and New Star you've described, I'm just wondering, is it a relationship that's symbiotic? And in other words, you can't have one without the other? You can't have the Laurel Pipeline project without the terminal? Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you testified that there's coordination between the companies. Could you describe that coordination? I mean, was it at top levels between the various environmental experts? Because New Star had its hearing already before this commission. Could you describe that process, please?
There were various levels from executive management, which you'll be hearing from as well here today, with their executive management on an engineering manager level with McGee, myself, right-of-way representatives, and as well as the environmental groups and agencies that were cooperatively working together.
Okay. Thank you, sir. No further questions.
Ms. Prescott?
Your Honor.
Okay, Mr. Smith, you're free to step down.
Thank you, sir.
Any other support for the project? Support. Come on forward. Just ask you to raise your right hand. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding.
I do, sir.
Okay. State your name, please, for the record.
I'm Gary Kegebean.
Gary, can you spell your last name for me?
The Kegebohn.
Okay, and who are you with?
I'm with New Star Energy as well.
Okay. And where do you live?
I live in San Antonio.
Okay. Go ahead.
Good morning. I'm Gary Kegebean, Vice President of Pipeline Operations for New Star. On behalf of New Star, I would like to thank everyone involved for the opportunity to present this public comments here today, and in support, obviously, of Cenex's application for certificate of corridor compatibility and the route permit for the proposed Prosper Terminal. New Star and Cenex have been great business companies working together for over 60 years. They are a key customer of ours, where Cenex is responsible for a lot of refined products production and have their own pipelines and terminals. Although we are a peer of theirs, they are also a very big customer of ours, where we own a lot of other pipeline systems and terminals that help them distribute their pipe the products from the refined products refineries across the country. We have experience working together for over 60 years from other refineries that Cenex has, and we feel that both companies are merged and that there's customer focus. We look for opportunities together, and we feel like we are both the best in our industries as far as operators of refineries, pipelines, and terminals. Our facilities are well built, and our operations and our managers know how to operate tank farms and pipelines and refineries very safely. So we feel we are a very positive benefit to our communities that we operate in. As Dale discussed in his comments, NuStar's Laurel Interconnecting Pipeline Project, together with Cenex's Prospect Terminal, will join the two pipeline systems together. Once joined, these systems will be able to better supply the fuel needs in North Dakota by both more stabilized and increased fuel volumes to NuStar's terminals. And I'd like to specify what Dale did. Since our products from the Laurel pipeline system are compatible with the products on our North pipeline system, once they become joined into our NuStar pipeline system, they are deemed to be what we call an open stock system. So barrels that could originate from a Mandan refinery of the same gasoline and diesel fuel grades could be viewed as if it was a delivery from the Laurel refinery pipeline connection, and therefore can supply upstream locations like our Jamestown terminals with those fuels, even though they're originating from the Laurel refinery. It's a book transfer. So in addition to just the downstream impacts that are more obvious probably of fuels going to Moorhead, to Sauk Center, and also to Roseville, the facilities upstream of that also benefit by this additional fuel supply. We know that the two peak areas of these fuel supplies, as another gentleman mentioned as well, are going to be during the spring planting season and during the fall harvest season, and those are especially times when there are shortages of fuel across the state. In 2009, I was part of a NuStar team that met with then-Governor Hoeven at his office in Bismarck. He specifically asked a very direct question to NuStar about what we could do to increase the refined fuel supply in his state. He was aggravated that the very large volume of crude oil in his state was produced, but yet there were still seasons when fuel, especially diesel fuel during harvest, had short supply. This project, if approved, will supply more refined fuels to the state of North Dakota in several terminals, helping to meet the needs identified by the former Governor Hoeven. And also, it does impact public safety from the perspective that if the fuels are more locally supplied to the terminals that already exist through this hub and terminal connection, it will also let the truck drivers have to have fewer hours on the road, fewer miles on the road to get that product from our wholesale facilities to the gas stations that we all use and are comfortable with. So it will help public safety from that realm as well. And just rest assured that NuStar and Cenex will both strive to ensure that the joint project is a model project for both clear communication, quality construction, and safe operations within the communities that we are proposing these projects.
Questions for Mr. Kegebean?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Pelham?
No questions. Thank you.
Ms. Prescott?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Next up, any additional support? Opposition. How about opposition testimony? Any opposition? Just ask you to raise your right hand. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
And would you state your name for the record, please?
David Gust. I'm a supervisor with Raymond Township.
And where do you live?
Well, I live somewhere between West Fargo and Harwood. My address is Harwood. Okay. 3724 26th Street Northwest is my address.
So you live in the area of Raymond Township?
Yes.
And so you live how far from the proposed location?
Oh, 3 miles.
Okay. Go ahead.
I guess I've been opposed to this from the beginning, the siting of it. I'm not opposed to tank farms or pipelines. I just feel that siting this out in the middle of the country is somewhat irresponsible. This is on a gravel road. It's near a railroad crossing that's not controlled. And I believe it would be better served somewhere where there's a paved road, better lighting, hydrant capacity, water, and better security.
Mr. Gust, there was some discussion that Raymond Township has taken some action and is going to have another meeting in April.
Yes.
What can you tell us about that?
Well, there's a fair amount of discussion about it. Since that time, there's been kind of some upheaval in the township. A group of citizens came to the annual meeting and elected another representative and basically tossed our chairman out, someone who was for this project. So the dynamics have changed quite a bit in the township. I have taken quite a few calls and spent many, many hours talking to citizens who don't like this siting. I'm not getting paid for the amount of time I'm spending on this either. Boy, I mean, we're used to, you know, gravel and roads. That's what we do, and moving snow. So this is taking up an incredible amount of my time. You know, and something I'm not trained for either. I mean, we're not trained in zoning and taking care of these kind of projects. It's sort of, the body that's least able to deal with these things is in charge of the zoning. You know, where a city, I do serve on the county planning board and the city of West Fargo planning board. They have staffs of people that take care of these things. You know, we're just basically three volunteers who serve on this board, and we'll get paid a stipend every year to do this.
How long have you been one of the township supervisors?
I don't know, 10 years, 12 maybe.
Questions for Mr. Gust? Mr. Mann?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Powell?
Good morning, Mr. Gust. I just have a few questions for you. I'm just wondering, sir, has Senex discussed with the township, you mentioned gravel road issues, better lighting, better security, access to other infrastructure. Has the company come to
Yes.
the township?
And yeah, we've discussed that they would be taking care of that. At the present time, it's a dirt road that would be serving their access, and they've agreed that they would take care of that dirt road and all maintenance and costs related to that they would take care of, yes.
Okay. And you mentioned better security. I'm just wondering, I mean, are you talking about just someone coming out there and doing something?
Well, I mean, you know, we can't keep a sign out in the township without getting shot up or stolen. We've got one dead-end sign that gets stolen every time we put it up. You know, it's just this kind of thing, you know, between garbage being dumped out there and everything else. We don't, you know, there's no patrols of any kind out there. You know, if you see a sheriff's car out there, I think he might be lost.
Okay.
You know,
right.
But so it's just, you know, and then you know, time, response time. The West Fargo Fire Department will be we have a contract with the West Fargo Fire Department, and they will be, you know, taking care of any issues out there. I'm not terribly concerned about, you know, those kind of things. You just don't know. You know, there is an overhead power line there. That power line went down in the what was it, 2007 flood, and you know, the railroad tracks there, and you know, there's some issues with railroad safety and.
Okay, and as I understand it from the testimony of the company that they presented today, is that they have received some, lack of a better word, permits from Raymond Township.
And there's been no permits let yet. They got a variance.
Okay, yes. You're right. Okay,
yes.
So the variance that has been approved by Raymond Township.
Yes.
Is that, okay.
Yes.
So as I understand it, then now what they've applied for and what's going to be heard in April, is that the regular township annual meeting?
Our tax equalization meeting.
Okay.
The annual meeting was this past.
Okay.
Past.
So it's sort of a special meeting for this.
Well, no, it's our tax equalization meeting, but it's also a township meeting.
Understood. And just to be clear, specifically what's been applied for has been described as sort of a building permit. Is that the terminology?
Yes, and I believe a certification of the variance.
Okay. And that's something that the township supervisors will analyze and make a determination on?
Yes.
Fair enough. Okay. And I'm just wondering, sir, and you made some comments, and the only reason why I ask is because you made some comments, is that you weren't trained for zoning. And as I understand it, how it works in Cass County, which is different from other counties like, say, for example, Barnes County or Burleigh County, where Bismarck is, those counties have the planning and zoning control. But in Cass County, the townships have the planning and zoning.
Yes.
So I'm just wondering what your if you could explain your comments as not having enough training for handling these types
of situations. Well, we do have a comprehensive plan. And that comprehensive plan is that it's agricultural and residential. We don't want industrial zoning out there, period. So that, by that, I mean, I don't know how to handle an industrial zoned, we do allow direct service ag commercial property, seed companies, elevators, those kind of things, because they directly serve the ag community in that fashion. And it makes sense for them to be located out in the country because you don't want one in the middle of town where you'd have, farm trucks coming in there to pick up seed or fertilizer or anything like that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gus, for testifying. And no further questions.
Ms. Prescott, questions for Mr. Gus?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. Other opposition? I will ask for neutral testimony after. What? Raise your right hand, please. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay. State your name, please.
Your Honor, my name is Evan Waugh.
And can you spell your last name for me?
First name is E-V-A-N. Last name is W-A-A. I've been in Raymond Township all but about 2.5 years of my lifetime, so I've been there quite a while. And I was one of the newly elected Raymond Township supervisors, and I think my election was largely a result of the people that have discretionary time and people that do the 9-to-5 work job. And a lot of those people that are on the 9-to-5 work schedule just can't seem to make it to the meetings that were always scheduled in the middle of the afternoon. Even after many requests to have them moved to the evening, there was no response to that. So we really didn't get a very representative cross-section of the citizens of our township getting access to these meetings simply because they choose between family time and a limited vacation. So they didn't come to very many of the meetings. And as many as they were, a typical 10-day vacation schedule would have basically consumed all their vacation or very close to it, unless it accumulated much. So I was selected, I think, by that group as a result of not getting access in the evening meetings, which was requested at more than one time. Some of the people in the group are just fearful. Some of them just don't like it. Some of them feel that they moved to the community because the way it is, more of a rural environment, not an industrial zone. They feel a bit deceived by some of the changes of minds of our township supervisors and also CHS. The deception from CHS has been, as we look at this, they really didn't acknowledge to the community that Mandan had increased capacity and a refining capacity. And it was also a new refinery in Dickinson. And also they didn't acknowledge that, I don't know if they did at the meeting or not, that their own capacity was increased. However they did, I believe, here. So there was a bit of deception there. And the huge demand, I think, was partially created by the oil boom, which is kind of slowed down right now. Don't know if all that'll come back or not. So there's a lot of fuel available, more so than we've had before, probably in many years. The other thing is with this tank farm that they are proposing, they seem to have a very, very close connection with the pipeline, which some people feel is not necessarily to serve the local community, but it's a desire to move to a larger market area, which is the Twin Cities, through the Rosemont area.
and or Roseville. And so we just feel that it's just really not going to help us out on supply, depending upon how they handle the situation. It's largely about market access for CHS and the Canadian crude, which they process. Other refineries tend to process more of our North Dakota product, and they will be having maybe a limited access, maybe not. I don't know. It depends how things are handled. And with that, we also, our community just feels it's just a little bit out of the scope of our normal environment. It's just too big a project for our area. Bare minimum, we'd certainly appreciate it if this project was scaled significantly down or not at all. With that, thank you.
Thank you. Questions for Mr. Waugh? Mr. Mann?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Pelham?
Good morning, Mr. Waugh. Just a few questions for you. You had just stated, sir, that you know, the project possibly being scaled down. Has that anything specific been provided to the company by Raymond Township supervisors?
No, but when we look at the storage facilities such as like Magellan in West Fargo, they have many, many tanks. They're small. There's not such huge stored amount of energy in that facility in one vessel, whereas this is a few tanks and very, very large. I'm not sure where they're at this time as far as ranking and tank farm size, but when we look back at a oil and natural gas report that was back a number of years ago, it listed the sizes of our tank farms in that report. Magellan was number one at that time. I don't know if that's true today in Fargo, and number two was in Grand Forks. I believe they built on some, I think they mentioned in Minot, which may make that largest terminal. But this facility, using those previous figures from this Dennis Hill report, would make this, with the first three tanks, the second largest tank farm in our state, which they did not state at our local meeting. And if they go with the proposed additional three, unless things have changed since that report, it would make it the largest tank farm in the state of North Dakota. And I don't know how this is at this time, but that's from those previous figures from that Dennis Hill report.
And sir, from the commission's standpoint, you understand that the commission considers the application as set forth in the Century Code, the state law, and the local permits, such as the Raymond Township, operate separate from the commission. The commission has no authority mm-hmm. over Raymond Township, certainly. This project is going to be considered by the commission, but obviously you're going to consider the application that's coming in April. I'm just wondering, sir, if there have been discussions, and I asked Mr. Gus a similar question, but with the company and discussions, is it simply the township doesn't want this facility, or are there things that the township would want from the company as sort of concessions to the community, in your mind?
Yeah, I don't really know anything about concessions. I don't think that discussion has taken place, at least not when I've been present. A lot of our residents, I guess, like say the 9-to-5ers that have to go to work, they just feel it's kind of more of a family environment, a place they selected to live. Some have been there a short time, some have been there a long time.
And I want to talk to you a little bit about, you had testified, sir, that there you believe that there is a bit of deception from the township and from Senex CHS. First, what do you believe, sir, was the bit of deception from the township? I know you're newly elected.
Well,
are you talking presumably before you were elected, I would assume?
Well, no, yes, before elected. The deception was that we had limited access to the meetings because of the timing was always in the afternoon, and there were several requests to move that time to the evening, like a 7 o'clock hour, which many townships do have. And it was not say, no, we won't. But it never happened, so the end result is no, we won't.
And as I understand your testimony, then generally, sir, about what you're saying, you believe is deception from Senex is there was apparently a meeting held in the township. Is that
no?
There was no meeting.
They did not present the full story as large as the scope of the project in a way that our constituents, our voters, and our township could understand. And also, they always expressed this huge concern about supply for our local community. which most of us don't really believe that's true. We believe it has a lot to do with this pipeline and a larger market area in the Twin Cities area.
All right, Mr. Waugh, I don't have any other questions for you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you,
Your Honor. Appreciate that. You know, I'd like to encourage anybody else who wants to get up and say their piece. Please come forward. That's what we're here for. I mean, the reason we come out to the counties where the projects are taking place is to give the public an opportunity to have input so that the public service commissioners have the feeling of what the public is thinking, people that live in that township and in that area, because this project is going to affect you directly. So would you raise your right hand, please? Promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay. State your name, please.
My name is Barry Bowman.
And Barry, where do you live?
I live, my address is 3110 165 Avenue Southeast, Harwood, and I live in the northeast corner of Section 8, east of Prosper.
How far do you live from the proposed project site?
It is probably 3/4 mile.
And are you here on your own behalf, or are you representing a group?
Well, no, I am. I'm the third and final township supervisor.
Okay.
So I'm township supervisor for Raymond Township, and otherwise, I guess presenting myself as a resident as well.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I think an important thing to remember here is that Raymond Township did not ask for this. Project, we didn't have an industrial area. Nobody requested this, but I do understand how it ended up in our township by geography and by economics. Okay, so it ended up in our township one way or another as a proposition. All right, and as far as being in support or opposition to this, I would say I am not necessarily in support of this. If it were to move someplace else or to not be built, that I would be perfectly satisfied with that. Okay, but when this was brought, this project was brought to the township as a proposal. I think we considered it as a project that was done between parties that were all agreeing, the landowners, Senex, New Star, they all worked with all the landowners and were able to get into agreements on those things. So as the project was brought in and it was being discussed, I think Senex did a good job, and New Star did a good job of bringing people in to answer questions. So they did a good job at that. They explained what they were proposing to do. Like the previous testimony, they were accommodating to move that site from the site right at Prosper to farther away from the residents, from the area of bigger population in our township. So they did. They did accommodate that. The big picture things I considered when I voted on this, and the big picture things are I'm in support of moving things by pipeline rather than by truck or rail. I think that's safer, better for society. I think that everybody uses these refined fuels for their everyday purposes, for their business, for their businesses, for their homes and so forth. I guess when I think of using gas myself, when I run low on gas, I go to the gas station and I drive up on top of a 18,000 gallon fuel tank and I fill up my gas tank with gasoline with no, electronic controls. After I pay, the gas comes out, I put it in my gas tank, I go home with my full tank of gas. Right behind me, I'm driving on top of it. I put it in my garage next to my house, and I go in my house where I have a 200-gallon tank of fuel oil in my basement. All right, so I think I'm not alone in saying that we trust the fuel supplies that we are familiar with. We trust the gas tank. We trust the gas station we go to. But when you get into these 6 million gallon tanks, this is where we aren't familiar with the scale of that. All right, so as a person in the township, I would ask the commission to make sure that these tanks are designed and that there is going to be stringent controls in place when they build them to inspect them. We can deal with that a little bit at the township level, but still, that's not our area of expertise. We would ask the commission to consider that those things are being taken care of for us. Overall, I guess I just say that I'm not necessarily in support of it being in our township, but I understand why it's there. I think Cenex, who's operated a pipeline in our township for many years, I think they've done a good job of communicating with us. I think they have the potential of making this a successful project. At the zoning commission, I voted to allow this because I thought that Cenex has a good chance of doing these being successful in building this thing correctly. It's a closed system, just like their pipeline. There's no truck loading there. Those extra hazards of having the vapor there for the gasoline and the diesel, I think they're not going to be in place very much at this terminal site. It's going to be controlled. I think we have a very modern design here compared to anything else that we can compare with, whether the Magellan or the Williams Brothers pipeline. Those are a little older designs. I think we have the benefit of having a more modern design there. So I think we have a good chance of having a good chance of that being safe. The other concerns that I would David and Evan, I would agree with them on their concerns for the neighborhood. If I thought that this would be unsafe for the citizens, or if I thought that it would reduce property values in the area, I wouldn't have voted for it. But when it gets right down to it, the transactions are at will here. And as we allow other people in the township to do other projects, whether it's Peterson Seed Farms expansion of their seed business or expansion of turning some farmland into bins, grain storage sites. There's been some of that in our township or our neighboring township. They got a transformer site for the NSP did for a transmission line there. I think those things kind of do fit into the overall picture of what we do in the township and what we should allow. So those type of things I think are all right. So that's why I did vote for it to allow that. There are some continuing concerns that we'll take up with the township on the building permit and going forward, but those discussions are still coming up.
Okay. All right. Questions for Mr. Bowman?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Pelham?
Thank you, Mr. Bowman, for testifying. Just a couple questions for you. You just stated that there are some continuing concerns. I'm wondering, and I've asked the prior two supervisors, rather, kind of the same question, but these continuing concerns, has the township been approached by Cenex regarding the concerns that the township is expressing?
Not specifically. All right. The building permit that we'll have to issue, this is very extraordinary for us. Usually the process for our building permits, it's pretty straightforward. Since I've been on the board, I've been on for 7 years, we have not even approved building permits as agenda items at our supervisors' meetings. Basically, the process is we receive a building permit, somebody wants to do something, and I have been issuing that permit in the same manner as my predecessor did on the board. So because this is such a big project, we wanted to bring it to the meeting and cover everything with motions and so forth, just because it's a big project. There's a lot of concerns everyone has on it. At this point, we haven't even discussed what those specific things are. My specific concerns are, from the information that we've gotten from Senex so far, there's a sheet in there on fire prevention or you know, fire control that is kind of a placeholder rather than a specific thing. So that's one of our concerns. People at the meetings have talked about lighting and so forth, and so we haven't, since there's a change in the makeup of the supervisors at this point, we don't have a chairman yet. We're kind of in between. So those are things when we go to that meeting that we want to invite Senex and NuStar in. They both need building permits because NuStar has a building on that site as well. But I think the biggest concern, of course, is the storage tanks. So those things will be discussed. There'll be agenda items at our next meeting, but what exactly those items are going to be, I can't really specify.
No, I understand, and thank you for that, sir. I don't have any other questions for you. Thank you.
Mr. Mann, anything?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. You may step down. Thank you, Mr. Bowman. And again, I appreciate we do appreciate the input. There was somebody else out there yet, I believe, that indicated they wanted to testify. Mr. Wrighton? Is that person still here? Okay. Anybody else who wants to make a comment on the record today? Because we're getting just about ready to close the record here. Okay, Mr. Mann, any rebuttal testimony?
Just one.
Let's take a 5-minute break. We'll come back at 11:15.
Sure. Thank you.